This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Joining us Wednesdays 11, brought in by Ozzy, is our friend Mr. Neil Greenberg. Greenberg, this just crossed my mind, and I'm curious for you and you too, B. How great is it we're not talking about draft picks, mock drafts, any of that?
I think it's great.
Yeah, it's something, something new.
How long are we going to be able to hold you off?
The past couple of years.
Yeah, dude, it's very, very different. B, I'm not worried about draft picks. Greenberg, how do you do? What? Now, you cover a lot of different stuff, but here's what I tell people. Like, I was out of town. People ask what you do. It's weird to explain it, whatever. And they're like, oh, so you're a football reporter. I'm like, yeah, I am. But we cover everything. The NFL takes up 80% of the sports oxygen in America. And I would say that the Commanders take up probably 85, 90% of the sports oxygen in D.C.
Yes.
Does that sound about right to you, Neil?
Yeah, I mean, it's the biggest sport, and it's something that a lot of people have interest in, especially locally. I think that that number probably doubles when the team is doing well. You know, the interest is there when the team is doing well. The negative interest is there when obviously they're not doing well. But yeah, I mean, this, you know, there's a reason why the NFL is considered the best pro sport in terms of eyeballs and interest, et cetera. So I get the same thing, right? Like, you know, are you only covering the NFL? And, you know, I explain to them I cover whatever the interest is of stories. If I can make a case for something, I mean, I'm allowed to write pretty much whatever I want. But we also have to balance the interest, right? And people have a high interest in the NFL right now.
Yeah, man. So they're coming off a bye. I think here's a good question for you because you play the numbers. To me, it's you just can choose optimism or pessimism, frankly. When you look at the playoff seedings, more likely Washington stays as a 7, catches Green Bay for the 6, or falls out and somebody catches them for the 7?
I think it's more likely they catch Green Bay for the 6. Green Bay still has to play Seattle and Minnesota, two playoff teams. They also play the Saints and the Bears. So two easier games and two more difficult games. So I do think that Washington has a chance to move into the 6 spot, which I think obviously would be really helpful because then they play this, as of right now, the Seattle Seahawks. They'd probably be like a 1.5-point underdog to the Seahawks on the road, probably a 6-point underdog to the Eagles on the road. So it's a big difference between expectations of winning a playoff game. I think that they obviously are in control of their own destiny, but I do think that they actually catch the Packers for number 6.
That's what I've been stuck at. I just think if they handle their business, they're going to be okay. You know, they start messing around and got to depend on other people, that can be a major problem.
Yeah, they only have, like, one true difficult game left, right? The Eagles in Week 16. New Orleans having some changes at quarterback due to injuries. And the other two games are the Falcons and at Dallas. We don't even know how much that game against Dallas is going to mean. We have to wait and see, but I think for Washington it might mean something because, like you said, trying to move up a spot, I really do think is a big difference between playing a team like Seattle, playing a team like Philadelphia on the road.
You know, it's interesting you say we don't know what that Week 18 game against Dallas could mean, and that's a fair summary. We don't, but Dallas just beat them. You know what I mean? Like Washington was flat, played a bad game. Dallas just beat them, so I don't even think you can approach that lightly. Now, is there a machination where you get to Week 18 and there's Washington ain't going up, they ain't going down? Yes, but I just I feel the way Dan Quinn is and the way this the organization is operating right now, they wouldn't be a we're benching everybody type of team regardless, man.
Well, I think it depends. I think it depends on who you're playing, you know, what the health situation is in the locker room, and like you said, like what's the outcome? What's the risk reward? You know, do you have a chance to move up? Then yeah, I think you got to play your guts out. But it all depends on what they're playing for. You know, this is a chance to actually win a playoff game in a long time. You know, assuming they make the playoffs. So I think there's a lot on the line here for Washington, especially in year one of this. I guess we have to call it a retooling. I don't even know if we can call it a rebuild anymore.
But recalibration was DQ's term.
Yeah, that's fair. You know, it's pretty remarkable, no matter what, that we're even talking about Washington being in, you know, in the thick of it. And you know, it's funny because you look at like Washington 8-5, they have a point differential of +80. Kansas City Chiefs 12-1, point differential of +56. You know, yeah. If you would have told people coming into the season that the Commanders would have a better point differential than the Chiefs at this point, I don't think anyone would have taken you seriously.
Yeah, for sure. We're talking with our friend Neil Greenberg from the Washington Post. You can give him a follow at N Greenberg, sports writer, stats, all that stuff for the Post. You know what's funny is this Saints game is just so. There's not a lot of reasons to not think Washington could go down there and win. But I was listening to Russillo's podcast this morning, and he talked about the advantages and disadvantages between looking at kind of traditional stats, you know, passing yards allowed per game versus more modern stats like EPA and you know, just kind of what matters most, yards per play, whatever it is. When you look at this matchup, what statistics do you care about? Because the eye test will tell you it's probably going to be a backup quarterback, and the Saints team doesn't have Olave. They don't have a lot to play for, but Kamara could beat you from any spot on the field.
Yeah, I definitely think, you know, we don't know what we're going to get for the backup quarterback. New Orleans offense wasn't good coming into the matchup. They were kind of, I shouldn't say they weren't good. They were an average offense coming into the matchup. Per metrics that adjust for strength of schedule, their efficiency adjusts for strength of schedule. I would actually look at the poor defense of New Orleans would be my thing. And I don't look at total yards. I would much rather prefer, like, yards allowed per play. You know, if you're not into expected points added, you know, I get that. But looking at the team's efficiency on defense, they're 23rd. You know, I think Washington with the fifth best adjusted efficiency offense going against the 23rd, you know, defense, I think is definitely what I would be looking at, because we don't know what New Orleans offense will look like. So I am expecting a big game from Washington. It should be a win for Washington. I don't anticipate any hiccups in this week's matchup.
Do you see any opportunity that Carr plays? We talked to a guy from New Orleans. He said they hadn't completely ruled him out.
He said 30-40% chance he plays. And he said the complicating factors that he's in concussion protocol. Like the hand.
When he said that, I believe he's not playing at all.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got the hand injury too, right? So,
yes.
You know, injury on his non-throwing hand plus a concussion. You know, I don't know. Do you risk it for him when you're 5-8 and on the outside looking in and it's a concussion?
If I'm Derek Carr, I don't want to play. You know what I mean?
Right. Like, what is it? Concussions, we're learning so much more about concussions and how detrimental they are down the road, especially the more you get, et cetera. Like you said, if I'm Derek Carr, I'm probably want to sit this one out because I have to look. I want to be able to, you know, talk to my kids and stuff like that. I don't know. I get people are gamers and they want to compete, et cetera. But sometimes you have to save people from themselves. And, you know, even if Derek Carr wants to play as an organization, you have to kind of look at him and say, hey, you know, we appreciate that, but you're going to sit this one out because we're going to need you a lot longer than a semi-meaningless game in week 15. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you. Talking with our friend Neil Greenberg. Greenberg, right now, and I'm sure you tiered this at, let's start with Washington, and then we'll get to the other question. Where you got Washington in your personal power ranks?
Tied for eighth.
Tied for eighth. With who they tied with?
Seattle and Pittsburgh.
Okay.
All right.
And I agree with you. I think they have a better chance.
Is that the highest they've been, Neil?
I'm sorry, say again?
Is that the highest they've been in your rankings?
Yeah, that's as high as they've been. And, again, I'd have them in that third, solidly in the third tier where they've kind of been most of the season. But, yeah, this is as high as they've been. I am as 3.5 points better than an average team.
Have they climbed or have other teams just kind of fallen?
A little bit of both. I think that, you know, we're seeing them. The outlook for them has just become more positive. The preseason expectations are all but gone now. You know, you have to start taking notice of what they've done and against who. You know, a lot of people say, well, they can't win against the Baltimores and Philadelphias of the world. But, you know, they're not getting blown out by those teams either, which counts for something. You know, again, kind of going back to what I was talking about with Kansas City, like the good teams do really well. Point differential is a thing as a barometer of team success. I know a lot of people aren't going to count out Kansas City just because of who they are, but you do have to look at their close game wins and wonder how much longer it's going to continue. Washington's getting credit for not being blown out by a better team, but also, you know, flexing their muscle against the teams that they should as well.
Okay.
Fascinating. So you got Washington at eight. I tend to agree that's a pretty fair spot. Inside the top 10, around the top. But I'm curious. I've come up with a theory that I can beat Vegas. How many teams do you think...
I tried to talk him out of this, Neil.
I think I got something here. I'm telling you, man. I don't think this is that complicated either. I don't think I'm probably the first person to come up with this. How many teams do you think can win the Super Bowl? Seriously.
Three. Four.
Three.
Three or four.
Who you got?
Detroit, Buffalo, Philadelphia, and... probably Baltimore.
You don't think Kansas City can?
Not name Kansas City.
I don't. I don't like Kansas City. I know that they'll probably prove me wrong and create a dynasty and all that. But you're 12-1 with a point differential that suggests you probably should be what, 6-7 wins. You know, that's tough for me to take seriously.
Is there could some of that be they have scored so many points over the years, and their defense keeps them in games now. And you got Pat Mahomes down the stretch. If he gets the ball with one possession, he normally scores.
You do, and a lot of it is mythological, right? Like a lot of it is subjective. You know this because we've seen him do it, and you know our minds just don't want to count him out. And I get all that, and that's definitely fair. I mean, football is a game with people. That do a lot of amazing stuff, and it's very easy to, you know, be up, you know, 3 points and look down the field at Mahomes with the ball and get nervous and make mistakes. That's a real thing. But, you know, again, I look at these teams that are similar to them, and they generally don't perform well in the playoffs if they make it at all. So if Kansas City does it, I'm happy to be wrong and you know, it's not gonna be the last time I'm wrong. Okay. But yeah, I'm not enamored with Kansas City as much as people and the odds makers are.
Is there any part of you
the average point spread for a team like Kansas City over the past, you know, two decades has been like a 2-point favorite. Kansas City has been almost a 6-point favorite this year on average in their games, and they're like on a 6-game streak of not covering. Like the Vegas is hedging with Kansas City for the exact reason that you said, because people will buy into that and will bet them accordingly. But I'm curious to hear what this model is, because I'm ready for some easy wins.
I imagine you are. I also just looked at. If I did the math and it doesn't look as good as I previously thought, you know we got problems. Is there any part of you, though, specific to the Chiefs, that, dude, I don't analyze the numbers like you do, but I know my way around football statistics, right? I see all the troubling numbers with Kansas City, But is there a part of you that's like, you know what? These dudes have earned a spot where I'm not looking at the numbers.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, this is art and science, right? Like, there's, and right. I've said this on the show plenty of times, there's a lot that we don't know. Like, I have no idea what the impact of Patrick Mahomes with the ball, 2 minutes to go, down a score, you know, like, I don't know how to model that. I don't know how to put anything on that. And there's a big gray area there. So absolutely. And it's scary. Like, that's the scary part for me as someone that builds these type of models and tries to, you know, figure out what the real margin of victory is going to be, the total, et cetera. Because I do not know that. I am making an educated guess as to what that number might be. I could be off by a factor of 10. Like, I just don't know. So absolutely. But I know that going in, so I probably, as a bettor, don't bet as much Kansas City as maybe someone else would, because I know that there's a big blind spot there that I can't quantify.
That's fair. Let's run through a couple Super Bowl teams, real or fake. We'll go fast. Obviously, Buffalo is. Pittsburgh, real or fake Super Bowl team?
Super fake. And every time I doubt them, they bite me in the rear. But I'm not a big Pittsburgh guy.
Okay. Ravens, real or fake?
Real. Lamar Jackson, real deal.
Look at you, just betting on offense over defense, even though we know what wins rings. Houston.
Do we? Oh, no.
No. You know that Houston's point differential is plus 20?
Yeah. Houston is... we want Houston to be good, but they're not in that level yet.
And that division is just god-awful. Who's better, Chargers or Broncos? This one's not close to me. They got the same record.
I think Chargers are a little bit better, but Denver's defense is better, so they're probably going to get the nod, but I think Chargers are probably the better overall team.
Chargers and Broncos, both 8-5. Listen to this, Greenberg. The Chargers have a plus 70-point differential. The Broncos are plus 71. Hard to find two closer teams than that. Holy moly.
I would have Chargers by favored by one on a neutral.
I would lay that point. I would lay that point for a lot of money. I think the Chargers are
better. And that's fair. And, you know, if I say that they're 1 point difference, then, you know, it could be zero. It could be one the other way. Like, you know, that's just the way it goes when you have this, this fog over everything.
Real or fake Super Bowl contender Minnesota Vikings?
Real, but they're real. I don't like it because I don't trust them for some reason. I would say that they're real, but they're fringe. Like you could definitely talk me off of Minnesota. Like, if we have a conversation long enough, I would probably be like, yeah, I can see that. You're probably right. Like, and put them in the next level down. But I would say that they're a fringe Super Bowl contender.
We have to go. Indulge me, Landfill. Please don't get mad at me. You retweeted something earlier today. We're talking with our friend Neil Greenberg, stats analytics for the Washington Post. Inflation report came out earlier today. You retweeted this. You brought this to my attention. Inflation, it never goes away. It's awful. Everything's so expensive, et cetera. What the hell sense does it make for core inflation, though, which is the number the politicians always want to point out, excludes food and energy? You know what everybody needs? Freaking food and energy. Like, why doesn't that count?
probably because the
volatility.
These are items that have a lot of volatility due to factors beyond like general economic stuff. Like, food prices can be affected by like the season, right? And also supply chain stuff. Energy prices can be influenced by geopolitical stuff. So they tend to take those out.
That's so stupid.
We do, yes.
Because we still have to pay it.
We do, but it's trying to get a gauge of like where we are from year to year. And that type of stuff has such volatility, they found that by taking those out, it gives a little bit clearer picture of where actual inflation is.
I don't want to be rude about this because obviously people dedicate their lives to economics and there are professionals in these fields that are really, really academically gifted. I understand that. But clearly they haven't figured this inflation stuff out. So stop trying to exclude the food and the energy because that's a huge part of people's lives.
I don't want to spend $80 on milk.
You know how much bacon costs, bro? You know how much a packet of bacon costs?
A bacon?
Bacon. Just buying a thing of bacon at the grocery store.
Like $7.
Dude, and if your wife likes the butcher cut, it's like 11.
Yeah, it's a lot.
For bacon, dude. It's a lot.
I tell you what, pistachio peanuts are also very expensive.
Well, you know they're just pistachio nuts and not pistachio peanuts.
Yeah, you know what I mean.
Yeah, I just, you know.
Pistachio peanuts are very expensive. Pistachio nuts are more affordable.
Dude, cashews? You want a tin of cashews? It's like $17. What planet
are
we
on? I know. Nuts are expensive if you like the upper echelon of nuts.
Pause, Greenberg. Pause, buddy. I appreciate you, man. Thank you.
All right. Love you guys. Talk to you soon.
That's our guy, Neil Greenberg, Washington Post. He could talk football. He could talk gambling. He could talk the price of nuts. Nobody go anywhere. It's B. Mitchell Finley. All righty, folks. Haven't said what's up to the stream yet. What's up to the stream? YouTube.com / BMitch30. That's the stream address. B actually checked this morning.
That is not it.
I'm pretty sure that's it. Who did you say was the first comment this morning?
Somebody blonde.
Yeah, that's who I see.
New person.
Patrick Starr with blonde weave.
Yeah, yeah.
Shout out to Patrick Starr with the blonde
weave.
Then
I saw Patrick just getting on everybody.
Is he one of them?
He was just
going at folks, huh?
Yeah, I haven't seen him lately.
I don't mind. I kind of think that's funny. There was some dude in there making fun of everybody yesterday. It was definitely making fun of me. I think it is always fun to look at the stream. It's its own little ecosystem in there, and I hope everybody's happy and healthy. Speaking of happy and healthy, B.
Yeah.
Washington obviously coming off their bye week, right?
Yep.
What's the biggest advantage of the bye?
Health. Get guys that have been banged up and feeling bad. Get them a little bit fresher. You can also reassess things that's been going on, what's been going wrong, what's been working. And you also may be able to adjust some stuff during that little bye week. You know, because, like, the coach is putting the whole offense, whole defense. And then you get accustomed to running certain things. And just like you get comfortable with it, the other teams begin to figure it out. This is the time where you can now come up with some stuff that looks exactly like what you were doing before. And they're going to be set up for it, and then, boom, you do something else.
How important do you think the bye is for Kingsbury to make sure offensively everything is fresh? Or one thing you've been doing to now run the counter to it, something like that.
Well, I think what he did in the game prior to the bye shows that he can make adjustments and work things out. So he just has to build off of that. You know, I don't think he needs to go in and overhaul his whole deal. Just realize what happened in the prior three games to the last one. And those defenses were better on top of that. But ultimately, come up with some stuff because, you know, I don't believe it was just Kingsbury's scheme. I believe the injuries played a major factor in those three losses in a row.
And I do think this execution. You can look at...
The execution was...
You can look at when coaches say execution as an excuse, or it's also an answer some of the time. Like, some of it is real. I think...
Cause like, if you look at some of those games, those three games, and after the games, were people not saying that there were plays there? So if it's drawn up and someone is open and the ball doesn't get to him, quarterback get hit or the quarterback doesn't see it, is that the scheme or is that just, execution? Somebody missed a block. Or maybe by missing a block, you, instead of looking to your next read, you now take off running. You know what I mean? So all that stuff pops into it. But it's easy to just say, you know, oh, yeah, it's the scheme later in the season. No, it gets more than that.
I think there's so much eye candy stuff with Cliff's offense, so much misdirection, that I do think teams can kind of, after 10, 12 weeks, they've seen it so much that they pay less attention to it. But at the same time, Cliff could counter to that. I think.
But other teams do that too, though, Jay.
Right. I think the most effective play Washington has, like, if there's one play they have to run, it's that counter QB draw to the right side. Like, you know, teams talk about how many plays they've got for two-point conversions.
Uh-huh.
And, like, what's your go-to play? You need 3 yards. Like, that's what I'm calling every time. And you get your big boys in space. You get Jaden in space. And from that, you can easily make that an RPO. Now, that's gotten a little harder with ineligible man downfield being a point of emphasis. But whatever, you coach those guys up on that. You make sure they're aware that the pass option's there. And I don't think, like, we could talk about the offense falling off a cliff and it just gets to be so predictable. And I don't want to oversimplify stuff, but I think there is a cottage industry of overly complicating football.
Yeah.
When this organization, when the Redskins were at their best, you know what Joe Gibbs would do?
They ran counter trey.
They would just call the same damn play over and over
until
and
you stop it.
But
if I could call the same play over and over, what does that tell me? My O-line is winning against their D-line. My tight ends are blocking their linebackers. They know that they knew the play was coming. You know, I have lined up behind that line, and they will say, "They're coming right here," and we go right there and get 10 yards. You know what I mean? So ultimately it comes down to who's going to win that one-on-one battle. Who's going to win those matchups that come up into those plays? It's not someone just, "Oh, I know what he's running." You know, you can't tell me when it's 4 minutes left in the game, Washington is up by 3 points, you didn't know that they were going to turn back and give it to John Riggins, give it to Gerald Riggs, give it to Ernest Biner?
You don't think people know what Kansas City's doing?
Yeah. But, like, that's what I mean, like the eye candy. So many people move around and do different things. But what you have to do with that is move around and let them think what's about to happen and do something totally different. The play has to be different, the end result. Because if you've been going with emotion and then all of a sudden, boom, I'm going this little rollout, they see that, yes, okay. But how about you go with that motion, going that direction, and boom, you go to run, and then a running back takes a step here and come back under, you hand the ball off, he goes the other side.
Yeah, man, I never really bought into the cliff that people were terming it. I think especially the Arizona stats were really impacted by Kyler Murray getting injured.
Yeah.
I think they looked really good against Tennessee. Go out and look really good this week. I think if you have a cliff concern, I think your greater concern should be about, like, the Bears trying to hire him than a second-half collapse, frankly. Something may have happened, Brian.
Where?
That I have been very loud, saying I don't expect to happen. Now, I don't know. I don't know if this thing actually is happening. I wouldn't be shocked if this is just some spin. Mm-hmm. It might be a fair way to say it. But something might be happening that I would actually celebrate, and I would say I was wrong. What the hell am I talking about? I'll tell you when we come back. We're going to do something right away. Maryland basketball is a hot ticket, man. You got to get out to College Park, and we're going to give away a pair of tickets to Maryland basketball. Let me know what the game is, boys, or we're just giving away generic tickets. We're going to do that in just a moment, so get ready to call in.
All right.
I saw this from our guy Tay in the chat, and Tay is a friend of ours. Tay asked if there's any Eckler news. Just so everybody's aware, Eckler got put on
IR.
The earliest he could be back, I think, is week 18. So IR is a minimum of 4 games. Then you can open the window, 21-day window to return to practice. I don't know, and I'm not going to speculate, but I think the thing to keep in mind with Eckler is that was his second concussion this season.
Yes.
And, B, you and I were in the tunnel. We saw him come off the field pretty woozy. He's talked about it now.
Yeah.
It was that was a scary situation.
It was.
And football players are tough guys, and they go through scary situations. That's how they operate. But I'm not – we'll get that news if and when we get it. That's not a story I'm trying to track down, so to speak.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going to happen there, and I'm not entirely sure anybody does, you know?
I'm sure
head injuries, man?
Yep, the head injuries come, and, you know, it's something you just got to let play itself out because guys deal with that totally different, you know? Some guys get concussions, and they don't have all the symptoms. Some guys have a hit that you don't think is going to be one, and they have all the symptoms. So just got to let it play itself.
Yeah, man, that ain't a sprained ankle. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to give these Terps tickets away. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. You win a pair of tickets to the University of Maryland men's basketball game. For the complete Maryland schedule and tickets, visit thefandc.com/contest. Caller number 10, you're going to win. I know that my man Jeff Walker's fired up to answer those phones. All right, B, I said something there. Coming up next at noon, we're going to talk to Andrew Golden.
All right.
I believe he's down in Dallas for MLB winter meetings. Obviously, last night was the baseball draft lottery. The Nats won that lottery. That's a huge deal.
Number one, baby.
We'll talk to Andrew about kind of what their options are with the number one pick. I mean, this is the type of pick that can change a franchise. You add a player that's a future all-star, right? Like, that's
totally
ideal.
Get it right.
I got to be honest with you. I don't know Robert Murray. I'm not familiar with his work. He is an MLB insider for Fansided, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I do know Byron Kerr.
Okay.
Byron's a good person. Byron's a sharp dude. Byron's all over Nats baseball, right?
Yep.
So this got to my attention via Byron Kerr. Robert Murray reports, Brian, there are multiple teams, including the Washington Nationals, engaged with free agent first baseman Christian Walker, sources say.
Okay. Walker,
33, is coming off a season in which he hit .250 with 26 homers and 84 RBIs with the Diamondbacks.
Okay.
I don't know Robert Murray. Byron Kerr adds to this via Twitter, Mike Rizzo loves former Diamondbacks. I don't know if Walker came up with the D-backs, and if at 33, if he's old enough to have been there before Rizzo got here, I'm not going to do that math. I know that to sign Walker, this is hardly top of the market money, but you are spending a little bit of money.
Yeah.
Especially if there's multiple teams involved. This, to me, is a good sign. I've been screaming that they're lying to us and they're not going to spend any money.
Yeah.
Now, this, to me, is like
scale 1
a
to 10.
4 out of 10.
Okay.
Maybe it should be higher than that. Landini, as the seam head, you can weigh in on this. But in general, I feel like this is good news. But unfortunately, Andrew Golden, our next guest from the Post, I believe kind of reported the opposite, to not even expect them to be in on Walker. And so I just wonder, you know what a hold me back guy is?
Yeah.
A guy that loves pretending
up,
to fight.
He's like, hold me. The guy's not even holding
it. Right. I wonder if this is a hold me back guy kind of situation. Like the Nat, somebody's like, yeah, put our name out there. We're talking to him too.
Yeah.
I don't have an answer on that, but I do wonder.
Hold me back.
So we're gonna talk some baseball when we come back. I also thought it's worth reminding everybody, it's 11:53 AM Eastern. Mm-hmm. On Wednesday, December 11th,
all right.
The Commanders play the Saints on December 15th, I believe.
Yep.
We have no idea who their starting quarterback is going to be.
We don't.
Who do you think it'll be?
Haener.
Over under 1.5 quarterbacks throw passes in this game. Not a random running back screen or something. I'm saying quarterbacks throwing passes in this game for New Orleans.
I'm going to go with the under.
You think it's one QB and he plays the whole thing?
Yeah.
You, a little bit. Great tweet here. Should I read this one?
Go ahead.
So we talked about it on the show, and I just put on Twitter how happy I am to not be in mock draft season. And the head naysayer in charge replied to me and said, JP, you should check in with Doc Walker to see if he has completed his deep dive for the 2025 mock draft.
All right, that's not Doc. That would be Kevin, not Doc. Doc is not doing that. I promise you that.
I might text Doc what he thinks about the draft, who he likes at 20.
You might get cursed out.
When we come back, we're talking baseball. Andrew Golden, Washington Post, covers the Washington Nationals, joins the program.